Reverend, the summit is entitled Philadelphia Solutions to Philadelphia Poverty. Yes. And apparently there's a roster of potential solutions. So let's take them one at a time. The first is, can city assets solve poverty in Philadelphia? This is a cash-strapped city.
When we look at solutions to Philly solutions to end Philly poverty, most of the time we've looked at solutions that really only kept people in poverty or maintained them in poverty and didn't really draw them out of poverty. You know, with that as a backdrop, we try to look at things that actually can move people out of poverty. One, as you just mentioned, city assets to be used as a way of pulling people out of poverty. You said the city is cash-strapped. And well, the city is one of the poorest cities. It's also one of the wealthiest cities. It's plenty of wealth in this town. The question is, how is this wealth being used?
But no one would argue that there's already a high tax burden for residents and business concerns.
I would differ on that to some degree, but I think the point we're trying to make with city assets is that you have many assets, whether it's Philadelphia Gas Works, Philadelphia, other Philadelphia entities that have large pension funds that are invested in mutual funds throughout the country, and those mutual funds and those people get the reward of those investments. We could very much take those same dollars, put them into our own public bank, much like the state of North Dakota does, and use those assets to be able to stimulate our own economy. Yeah, so there are ways to be able to pull our own assets. Also, there's ways to do pooling of resources or buying. Instead of the University of Penn buying separately from the University of Temple or other universities or the city itself, we could gather all of them together and make them one buying club, demand that if you want to do business with us, you have to have businesses that are in the city and employ people in the city, and then you can get the fruit of the work that we do.
You cite public banking. Describe it and how it might work here in Philadelphia.
I can give you the kind of framework for it. There's obviously other experts greater than me that can talk about it. But the idea is, again, using city resources to fund a bank. Like now, the city has a certain amount of tax dollars, pension dollars that are in other banks. And to be able to pull all those resources together, put it in our own public bank, gives us the economic power to be able to stand behind smaller banks in the city so they can do more creative lending to our own citizens to start businesses.
Let's switch over to the role of education. The Philadelphia School District is also up against budget problems. Discuss the role of early childhood intervention. Of course, the new mayor, Jim Kenney, wants to see that throughout the city.
We certainly, while the whole framework of his plan we may have differing on, but the idea of pre-K, free pre-K, quality pre-K has been proven over and over again statistically what it does for young people. Let me say one of the major things that we talked about, we're going to talk about at this summit, is that our manufacturing base from 1950 to 1980, we lost about 350,000 manufacturing jobs. They were called good jobs because people could go into those jobs right out of high school, walk into a plant, stay there the next 30, 40 years of their life, be able to feed their family, be able to have a house, be able to be productive citizens in our community, really be what we call the middle class. Well, those jobs are gone now, but we're left with this service sector industry that has been adding jobs at the same time. Now, the only difference between a manufacturing job then and a service sector job now is a strong union, because the union movement is what created the manufacturing jobs to be jobs that were middle class jobs. Before a movement, those jobs were not well paying at all. If we really care about ending poverty in the city of Philadelphia, we need to be a supporter of all union movements that really are trying to get the service sector to pay people the kind of wages that are not in poverty.
So weigh in on a related matter, the notion of raising the minimum wage.
That's one of the steps that has to be included in this. The movement is one for $15. $15 an hour actually takes you out of poverty.
But then what in turn do you say to business owners who say it might take individual workers out of poverty, but it takes them out of the competitive game?
Every time the minimum wage has been raised, it was raised in Seattle up to $15. No businesses are really shutting down. Industry is moving forward. What happens is that you actually have more dollars now circulating in the community because you're paying people more money, and therefore they, in fact, don't keep the money. They spend the money and usually spend it on other businesses, and those businesses gain in wealth and prosperity.
As a member of the clergy, let's discuss the role of faith-based institutions and what more they can do to help end the cycle of poverty.
Well, we're hopeful that part of the summit will be a calling together of faith-based institutions, black, different denominations, different faiths coming together to really say, hey, Kay, we have a certain amount of resources that we put in banks on a regular basis. Can we put them collectively in one bank that is going to dedicate itself to really giving the kinds of loans out to help end poverty in our city? So that conversation hopefully will be going on, and we'll be moving forward to actually do that.
Moving Forward has been taking place for over half a century. It was Lyndon Johnson who brought this notion of the war on poverty back in 1964. Here we are in 2016. So how do you prioritize moving forward now?
There's a great movement going on in our country right now. And that great movement is a recognition of the inequality, the great inequality exists in our nation. You know, we don't choose how to move forward. We look for where the movement is happening and join that movement. And the things and issues we're talking about in Philadelphia, all of the issues in Philadelphia that are so dramatically causing poverty are causing it in Baltimore and St. Louis and Chicago and Seattle. It's not just black, but it's white. It's Latino. All of us are experiencing it in some way, some more than others. And as we join together in this great movement to try to solve it on a local level, this great national movement also continues to move forward.
So this groundswell gives you cause for optimism even in the short run?
Yes. I am very optimistic, very hopeful, because voices that are really coming from the right and the left are kind of saying the same thing. You know, we got to get through these accusatory things around blaming Mexicans and blaming people of race. But once we hear what's really been saying, they're both saying the same thing. That too much of our wealth is going over our seas. Not enough wealth is being kept here at home. And we are losing what is really the American dream, and that is the middle class.
The Poverty Summit, Philadelphia Solutions to Philadelphia Poverty, takes place tomorrow morning. Reverend Holston, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you for having me.